The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Thank you very much, my dear friend, Advocate Nati Siegel. Kved HaRabonim, the Rebbetzins, to our Chief Rabbi, Rabbi and the Rebbetzin Warren Goldstein, to our very, very esteemed Choshu guest, a surprised but very honored guest, Rav Argon Binyamin Maskevitz, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Medrash Mul in Yerushalayim, which incidentally has a large contingent of South African Talmidim, and I had the privilege of speaking there a few years ago, and his two sons that are with him, to our guest who we're paying honor to this evening. And that's our latest musmach, our dear Rabbi Stefan and his Rebbetzin, Yael, and a hearty mazel tov and welcome to his entire family, Leon and Rosie Gertzman, father and mother, and Ivan and Marion Sofer, the father and mother of the Rebbetzin. I'm sorry that, very sorry, Ivan cannot be with us, but we still extend a hearty mazel tov to him. To the entire Gritzman, Osband, Bender, Sofer, and Cohen families that are here, a hearty, hearty mazel tov, and we hope that you're having much nachas this evening, and you will continue to have much nachas from Stefan and Yael. Ladies and gentlemen, the Torah relates, B'chodesh ha'shlishi l'tzeis b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. When Israel went out of Egypt in the third month, which was Sivan, they came to Midbar Sinai. They came to the desert of Sinai, and they stood near the mountain. Moshe went up to the Almighty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to him, and he said, "You have seen what I have done to Egypt and what I have done for you. And now if you will listen to my voice and you will guard my covenant, you shall be a precious treasure to me from all of the nations of the world. And you will be to me an empire of Kohanim and a sanctified nation." These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. What does this mean, an empire of Kohanim and a sanctified nation? The word Kohen has two meanings. One, the common meaning, it refers to Aaron Ubonov, Aaron and his sons. But it has another meaning which comes from the same source. And that means royalty. Royalty, nobility, a prince. And Rashi tells us, here that is what it's referring to. It is referring to Sorim. You shall be for me a nation of royalty, of great people, and a sanctified nation. What does this mean? From all that the Almighty created, in the heavens, in the earth, in the sea, and all that's there, the greatest creation was man. The Almighty said, let us create a man in our own image. And he will reign over the entire world, from the depths of the sea to the fish in the sea to the birds in the heaven. Everything on this planet. He shall be the king. And because of that, the Almighty gave him a body made from the physical world, a most sophisticated, elaborate body. He imbued him with a nefesh, with a heart, with emotions, with all of the human senses. He gave him bina v'das, intelligence, intellect, and vayipach ba'apav nishmaschayim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul, which was from the Almighty himself. And this is what Rashi comments, nivra min ha-tachtonim u-min ha-elyonim. He was created both from the physical world and from the spiritual world. Excuse me. Because of this makeup, he imbued in man four levels, four dimensions. First level are the wisdoms of this world. Sages refer to this as Chochmas Derech Eretz. He taught Adam HaRishon, the first man, to teach his generations after him all that is needed, all that is necessary for man to survive and to live pleasantly and successfully in this world, to sustain the human being, human society. He taught him Chochmas Abinyan, the wisdom of building shelters, agriculture, how to take care of cattle and sheep, hunting and fishing, sailing the seas, the wisdoms of making clothing, of making food, to care for himself, Chochmas HaRefuah, the wisdom of curing the human being, Chochmas HaPanoso, how to make a living, Masa U'Matan, commerce. In addition, he taught man how to survive in a society, amongst people. He gave him the midos tovos, the good qualities, the good characters that one needs, manners, the wisdom of human relationships and interactions in order that man can live pleasantly, successfully, and peacefully. This the sages refer to as the wisdom of Derech Eretz. The Maral Prague says, why is it called Derech Eretz? Because it teaches man how to walk on earth, all that is necessary for him to live mitech ha-yishuv, where people live. And this is why the sages say that kol mi she'eina b'derech eretz, someone who does not have this wisdom, eina min ha-yishuv, he's not from society. He belongs in the bush, in the woods. And they refer to this as the Chochma HaTachtona. This is the lower wisdom, not that it's not a great wisdom. It's a great wisdom indeed, the Maral writes. But compared to the other wisdoms which Hashem would give man, this was the lower one, and this was first. The sages learn this from the Pasuk Derech Eitz Chaim, Derech zu derech eretz. Kodma derech eretz la'olam chofov deres. This was taught to man 26 generations before Torah. Because the pasuk that we quoted, that man stood at Har Sinai, that was 26 generations later. And the reason why is simple. Look at a child. What do you teach him first? Do you teach him Gemara? Chumash? You teach him how to care for himself, how to stand up, how to sit, how to walk, how to talk. And this is the way man has to grow. This is more important than teaching him Gemara and Chumash, because this is the foundation. The fact is that Rambam writes that someone who's not Bederech Eretz, not allowed to leave him into the Beis HaMedrash. First you must teach him outside how to be a mensch. Then he can come to start learning the higher levels of mankind. What was the second level that he gave to man? He taught man and commanded him in a number of mitzvahs. Six mitzvahs to Adam, to the first man. He added an additional mitzvah 10 generations later to Noah. For example, you must believe in the Almighty. You shall not serve idolatry. You shall not steal. You shall not take someone else's wife. Certain limited cases of incest. You should establish law and order. This was to satisfy the part of man that was not from the physical world, but was from the spiritual world, because these are mitzvahs Hashem. Perhaps one will ask, well, what's the difference between this and the wisdom of Derech Eretz? There's a great difference. Because the wisdom of Derech Eretz is what man's intelligence decrees and dictates. The wisdom of the mitzvahs is what the Almighty decrees and dictates. Wisdom of man's Derech Eretz, that can be changed in accordance to time and place. Not the mitzvahs which the Almighty gave him. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Almighty gave these mitzvahs to man, he introduced a whole new level to the world. Humanity was elevated to strive for something beyond themselves. A conscience was given to mankind, which mankind must strive for. In every generation, we have evil tyrants and evil people that try to throw off this yoke. There was Paroi, there was Nebuchadnezzar, there was Haman, Hitler, Stalin. The wisdom of man could dictate that there should be a super race. The annihilation of the feeble, of the sick, the weak and the old. Or even so-called more morally sophisticated nations also become confused. The issue of abortion, euthanasia, to be sympathetic to criminals and murderers, to tolerate terrorism, and nations that aid and harbor terrorism. And the philosophers have gone off the track in every generation. The mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are beyond man. They are not changeable by man. The Rambam writes something of interest. He says that if the nations of the world fulfill their mitzvahs, they are from the righteous of the nation, and they will have a portion of the world to come. But this is only if they fulfill their mitzvahs, because they believe that this is from the Almighty. If they do it because of their own choice and wisdom, they might be from the wise of the nations, but they are not from the righteous, and they will not have a portion in the world to come. What was the third level that was given to man? Third level was when he brought Yisrael to Sinai and gave Yisrael Tayag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs, the entire Torah. 248 positive commandments, 365 negative commandments. This is known as the Chochmah Elyona, the highest wisdom that came to this world, because it's Mechochmosai Beretzenai, it's the wisdom and the will of the Almighty Himself. The truth was, it was the Almighty's plan to give this to the entire world, but the nations refused to accept it. Only Israel stepped forward and said, we will take it. Now, after we have all of that, what was the fourth level? What does it mean you should be further? An Am Kodesh, a sanctified nation, Mamleches Kahanim, an empire of noblemen, of princes. There's no doubt that one must strive to fulfill all of the mitzvahs of the Torah in all of its generalities and all its details, each and every one according to his own ability. This is the actual mitzvah. But we must ask ourselves, what is the purpose of the mitzvahs? Where are these mitzvahs supposed to lead us? What are these mitzvahs supposed to bring us to? Our sages say, Lo nitnu ha-Torah ela letzaref es habriyos. The purpose of the Torah was to elevate and to refine the human being. I give you mitzvahs to perfect you, the Almighty says, that you may attain the highest form of perfection possible for mankind, to bring the human being as close as possible to the Darkei Hashem, to my ways. This is what it means, Mamleches Kohanim and Goy Kodosh. Our sages and our early commentators, amongst them the Rambam, the Ramban, write that only through the fulfillment of these mitzvahs can we come to this. But on the other hand, there will be those that will fulfill the mitzvahs scrupulously, but they will still remain a very low individual and human being. In fact, they will be, the Ramban refers to it, as a novel Beshus HaTorah, an uncouth individual who fulfills all mitzvahs. A few examples that are given. Someone can eat the most kosher food in the world, Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, but he can still be a glutton. Someone can drink the most kosher wine in the world, but he'd be a drunkard. Someone can be careful not to speak any Lashon Hara, which halavai, that's something we should all do, but his speech can be coarse and vulgar. People deal with others. Love, kindliness, pleasantness, you have. Someone can fulfill mitzvahs and deal with others without love, kindliness, and pleasantness. In the marketplace, in the field of business, the sages reprimanded us. It's not enough to do exactly what the law states. That's not the purpose of the mitzvah. The purpose of the mitzvah is that what the Almighty said was Siso es hayoshor v'hatov, that it should bring you to the ultimate in integrity and goodness. And therefore they enacted many laws merely on the basis this is not the way a Jew should do business. Those of you who remember the Zayda will remember many times they'll tell you, Das pasnit for Eid. You could keep Shabbos, but your day of Shabbos is no different than any other day when it comes to the elevation of the human being, or the same as Yontif. And just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, expects us far more from Israel than the nations of the world. He gave them a mere 7 mitzvahs. To us he gave 613. He also expects and demands that it brings Israel to that level of Goy Kadosh and Mamleches Kohanim. And this is something which encompasses every level of life, from the lowest physical level to the highest spiritual level. And the greater the individual, the more is demanded from him. Let me give a few examples. In the Torah we have, in Parshas Re'eh, Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, you are children to the Lord your God. Leisis Godidu V'leisosimu Korcho B'neinechem L'meis. You shall not inflict wounds on yourselves, nor remove all of one's hair, as the idolaters used to do when someone died. Why? Rashi brings the fisha atem bonov shomokom, because you are his sons. Vatem ruin lios noim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants beautiful sons. Velei gedudim umekorachim. And not sons that are mutilated or that are hairless. Another example. We all know that before we eat, we come to a suda, to bread, we wash our hands, netilas yadayim. Actually, we have what is known as mayim rishonim and mayim achronim. The Rambam writes, there are many mitzvahs encompassed in that. But ha'ikar ha'kosuv lahazir shia nekim u'tahorim. But the main fundamental reason is, how can we come to spiritual sanctification, spiritual heights, spiritual cleanliness, if we do not have first physical cleanliness? And therefore, mayim rishonim, mayim achreinim, shemen orev. We must wash our hands first, wash our hands secondly, afterwards. And it was the custom in the time of the Talmud that they would anoint their hands with a sweet smelling oil to remove all odors of the food. When it comes to, we mentioned a yantif. The Rambam writes, Kishuhu, this is in Hilchas Yantif Perek Vav, Kishuhu Eichel V'Sheisa, when a person eats and drinks, he celebrates on Yantif. One would think Yantif was given to celebrate, which is true. Therefore, I'll have the time of my life with eating and drinking. He says you're obligated to feed the convert and the orphaned and the widow and the poor and the downtrodden. And those that celebrate, great celebration, they keep all the laws of Yantif. And they eat and drink with their sons and their wife. And they close the doors to these people. This is not a Simchas Mitzvah. This is not what the Almighty wants. Simchas Kreisoy. This is a celebration of the stomach. He's not interested in that. And afal pi she'achila v'shtiya b'maidis b'chlal mitzvah se'aseh. And even though this is a great mitzvah, but the whole day shouldn't go like that. A person must take time out to daven, to study. And when one drinks and rejoices, he shouldn't become a drunkard. It shouldn't be just folly and say the more you do, the greater the mitzvah. Because drunkenness and folly and lightheadedness, That's not the simcha what the Almighty wants. He wants the simcha which will bring you closer to Him. Shahaveda de simcha. He wants you to serve Him with such a simcha. Another example. We have the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, who are the most sanctified of the people. We know that when it comes to serving in the Beis HaMikdosh, they cannot have a blemish, an injury. They are not allowed to have a physical imperfection. Why not? What does that have to do with it? The Maharal writes, because they are the ultimate of perfection. And therefore this would disqualify them. They wore very, very lavish clothing, beautiful clothing, when they served in the Beis HaMikdosh. The clothing of the Kohen Gadol was made from gold, and a blue wool, and a purple wool, and a scarlet, and linen, and was all woven together. For what purpose? Lekovayd uletiferes. So it should be with beauty, honor, and splendor. Rambam writes, "Bigdekuna mitzvosan shiachadoshim." The mitzvah is that their garments in the Beis HaMikdosh always had to be new, noim, beautiful. Misholoshim kederet bigdei agadolim. They should be in a manner of which the nobility would wear. What would happen if they were stained or torn, or they did not fit perfectly, a little too big, a little too small? This would invalidate their service in the Beis HaMikdosh. And when they would become too stained, we weren't allowed to wash them. We had to buy new ones. Another example. Gemara tells us that when Talmidei Chachomim, the sages, when they would have a so-called idle conversation, the Gemara says you should listen to it. Because afilu sichas chulin shel Talmidei Chachomim tzrichin limud. Even the idle conversation of the wise and the sages, you should study. There's much you can learn from it. Rashi, in Masechta Aveda Zora, Daf Yutes Amud Beis, he says, what can you learn from it? Kedei lislamed ledaber b'lishein kilashenam. You'll learn how to talk like a mensch. Shubeloshin nekiya. Because their words are very closely chosen, very carefully chosen. They speak a very clean language, the osher, a very rich language, umarpe, and a very comforting language. This is the speech of the Talmidei Chachomim. The Rambam, in Deyas Perikei, he writes that the Talmud Chochem lo yetzei v'tzavach. It's not the way of the sages and the wise to shout and to yell when they're speaking. He says, like animals. They should not lift their voices, but speak benachas in kol habriyas, softly and kindly to every individual. Magdim sholem lechol odom. Morris says, on Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, he used to say, no one ever gave me a greeting before I greeted him. Afilo akum b'shuk, even the idolater in the marketplace. Bereidev shalom. It's the ways of the wise in the Torah always to pursue peace. Imrei shedvorem ma'elim nishmayim ayim avim lav sheisek. If they have something to say and people will listen to them, they must say it. If they see people will not listen, let them be silent. They must be careful always to keep 100% to their word. Not allowed to deviate from their promises at all, except where the Torah insisted. They should not run through the marketplace like those who are wild, but they should walk in the marketplace like a person who is busy and concerned with his work. The clothing of a Talmud Chacham should be noah, should be beautiful, v'noki, and perfectly clean, impeccable. The oselei, it's forbidden that there should be any stain or dirt on his clothing. A further example. The Gemara tells us at the beginning, at the end of Asecher Esa'umnin, Bamatzia Pei Gimel, Mor relates a story, Rabba Barba Chono, one of the sages of the Gemara, Havelu Hani Shakloi, he hired some workmen to transport some of his barrels of wine. Chavisa de Chamor, Shokol, Tavra lay Chavisa de Chamor. They broke one of his barrels. He demanded payment from them. They wouldn't pay. Shokol legamayo. He took their coats as a security till they would pay. Also Amal Rav. They went to Rav and they complained. Rav heard the story. He called in Rabba Baba Chana and he said, give them back their coats. He said, is this the actual deen? Is this the halacha? He said, for you it is. Because states Leman Telech Bederek Tovim, you have to go beyond the law. You have to go in the good way. They're poor workers. Give them back their coats. Gave them back their coats. Then they came to him and they said, look, we're poor. We've worked the entire day and we haven't had what to eat. We're hungry. Give us money. He said, you broke my wine and you don't pay me. And now you want money for your day's work. Now, they went back to Rav. Rav said, give them. He said, is this the deen? Is this the law? He said, for you it is. Orche sadikim tishmor. Someone like you always has to walk in the ways of righteousness. Another example. The Torah tells us in Parshas Va'eschanan, Re'ei lomareti eschem kukim u'mishpotim kasher tzivani Hashem elokai. I have taught you the statutes and the laws which Hashem has commanded me, Moshe says to the people. Shmartim v'asisem, guard them carefully and fulfill them. Because these will be your great wisdoms in the eyes of the nation, that they will hear these laws and they will say, these laws and the practice of such laws can only be by such a great, wise and understanding nation. Is there another nation in the world, the nations will say, that has such great and upright laws? But be careful. Be careful that you do not forget these laws in all of their detail all the days of your life. You shall teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Rashi comments on this. Kishalei tishkechu ayisom v'tasum amamitosom techoshvu chachomim udevainim. If you will not forget these laws, then all of the nations of the world will say what a great nation Israel is. Im ta'avosu ayisom, im ta'afsu ayisom. But if you would distort them, techoshvu shaitim, the nations of the world will say, what a foolish nation Israel is. If you will follow my mitzvahs, you will learn them and understand them and teach them. And you will give your entire hearts to them. What will the nation say? Migoy Godol. Is there another nation in the world that has such great statutes and mitzvahs, such wisdom? But if you will distort them, you will not become this mamleches kohanim, the goy kodosh. What will the nation say? Can there be a nation of greater fools that have such backward and strange and outdated laws? This is what the Torah tells us. And then, finally, on the pasuk that we quoted, the Baal Torah Tamima brings a Gemara from Masechet Zevachim, Daf Yutes. Omar Rashi said, Omar li Huna bar Noson. Huna, the son of Noson, told me once, Zimna choda have ka amina kamei the izgedor malko. He said, one day I was standing in the presence of the great and mighty king Izgedor. He, Rashi says, was Melech Paras, the king of Persia. I was in his presence. I was wearing an avnet. I was wearing a belt. In those days they would wear belts not like us, but it was a belt made out of soft material. And he motioned to me. And I came close to him. He moved the belt down a bit. He said, you're wearing it too high. V'omar li, and he said, Mamleches kahanim v'gei kodosh k'siv b'chu. The king of Persia said to me, you should not wear your belt that way, because on you it states that you should be an empire of noblemen and princes and a sanctified nation. Because by the Kahanim, it states they are not supposed to wear their belt higher than their elbows, because the sweat collects there, because the arms rest, and it was not considered the ultimate of perfection. He moved my belt down, and he said, by you it states, you're a Jew. Mamleches Kahanim v'goy kodosh. He told this story over to the great Rav Ashi. What did Rav Ashi say? Rav Ashi said, you have fulfilled the prophecy, because it states in Yeshayahu, V'hoyu malochim omnayich, v'soreseihem menikosayich. Kings shall attend to you like the nursemaids and governesses who attend to your children. And their princesses shall nurse your infants. He says, we have seen the fulfillment, the beginning of the fulfillment of that prophecy. So this is what the Almighty told Moshe to tell Israel, I'm giving you my Torah. I'm giving you my mitzvahs. Study them diligently. Teach them and fulfill them. But remember what it's supposed to bring you. Tell the Rosh Hashiva, my Rebbe Reb Gifter would say, it's not that a person should be a person with 613 punktlet, 613 points. The 613 mitzvahs is to transform you into a mamleches kahanim begoy kodosh, into a nation of princesses, of nobility, a sanctified nation. At this point, I would like to convey my heartiest mazel tov to our dear Rabbi Stefan and to his wife Yael. Stefan is an individual of an outstanding, brilliant mind and unusual abilities. During the course of time and his many years of learning, he managed to gain a master's degree in economics and lectured at Vich University. But more important, he has applied his talents and abilities during these past 10 years to grow and gain to great levels and great heights in Madrigas HaTorah, in breadth and depth, with Das Ubinon, to become a Talmud Chochem of great stature. In addition, he's a Marbitz Torah. For many years now, he's been giving shiurim throughout the city of Johannesburg. However, I wish to add another note. I'm particularly very, very happy this evening that he has chosen this path when you take into consideration the family that he is coming from. Stefan's mother, she should be well. She comes from the family of Reb Shul Zelig Bruch Zichrein of Rocha, who was a Talmud of the great Gaon, the Telzer of Reb Lezer Gordon Zichrein of Rocha, and later become Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Lomz. Hashem Yochum Domai, he would not survive the war. In addition to the family, to Rav Ruch, is Rabbi Isaac Osban Shlita. When I came to Telz, it's almost 50 years ago, it's actually more than 50 years ago, Rabbi Isaac was one of the Rosh Yeshivas. He's a very old man today, but Baruch Hashem, he's still living. And he was my Rebbe. He was married to the daughter, he still is, to the daughter of Rav Yitzchok Bloch Zichrein Verocha, who was the last Telzer of, who was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemom Bezichram. And their son, who's named after his Zayde, Rav Avremel, he was a young boy when I was in the yeshiva. Today he's a great Rosh Yeshiva, and he's in charge of a Telza branch in Riverdale, New York. When we come to the Bender family, the Zayde, Olav HaShalom, or a Beryl Bender, was a Rav in Germiston. He was the Rav of the city of Port Elizabeth, which at that time was a major Jewish community, a Litvisha community here in South Africa, and then the Rav of the Yovel Shul. And he served with his Rebbetzin for over 50 years in Rabbonis and in Chinuch, in Abbotzes Torah, here in South Africa. And if I recall correctly, the Baba told me that her lineage goes back to someone no less than Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zichrein Verocha. So therefore, coming from such a family, it gives us great pleasure to be with you this evening And now you have received smicha from the yeshiva. And may you and your dear Rebbetzin use it for the study of Torah, for the teaching of Torah, for being an inspiration to Klal Yisrael. And may your dear family have much nachas, not only this evening, but many, many years to come. And I am sure that all of your relations that are not with us in this world today are also celebrating. I wish you all a ksiva v'chasima tova. May we be zeichet to have a good and healthy year. We should see haramas keren ha-Torah, the rising of the crown of Torah. And may we hear only good news from Achenu Beis Yisrael, from our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and Bechol Mokom Sheheim, wherever they may be. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the evening.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.